The Survivor Specialists are back, and it's Phil and Blake. We're digging deeper into episode number 8. And today, we are joined by Brandon Donlan. I could never imagine what the 17th means next to his name here. I'm very confused. Brandon.
He's our 17th guest.
Is that what it is?
I have 17 hearts right now. The TH is for those hearts. I'm here, and I'm thrilled to be here to dig deep, you know?
Yeah, and we talked about, so we, when Blake and I originally came up with this idea, it was, all right, let's do an extra podcast, because I started seeing people, we had more people that I wanted
more
to have,
podcasts.
I wanted more people on this show than we had episodes in the season in terms of like predictions and firings. I was like, why am I limiting myself?
Yeah.
And so we started doing this and we said, okay, it'll be like 20 minutes long. And then the first guest we ever had on this was Troyzan, and it went, I think, an hour and 25 minutes and probably 3 minutes too long there at the end for anybody who wants to listen to the end and cancel the poor man. But anyway, now we have Brandon, and this is not going to be 20 minutes long because it's going to take us an hour and 40 minutes just to figure out what the hell was going on with Q. So our main topics here, we have two of them this week. We're trying to get into live tribals and Q Burdette. That is what we are looking at here as our two main topics, and we'll devolve from there. So, Brandon, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, my God. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to talk about these two things. I've been talking nonstop about one of these things for many weeks now. The live tribals is new in the vernacular as of last night. But this guy, let me tell you, this guy is the best. This guy, I commented on, I never am on like the live post episode Reddit thread. But I just, I had so many thoughts that I just needed to type them out. Last night, I commented on that Reddit thread. I mean, Q is genuinely, I think, the best male cast since Tony, maybe? Like, by far, New Era. New Era, it's not close. Maybe 10, 15 seasons before that. I mean, this guy is magic. And this guy, what I've been saying to people in my own social circles is like, Q, if you put Q on token sheets in 2008, I think Q's like 30. I think he's 1990. I think I look up. He's magic on token sheets. If you put him on Philippines, he's magic on Philippines. Like, this is just this. Where do they fucking find this guy? I mean, he's incredible. He is genuinely like, seldom in the New Era has there been, I think there's been, you know, really great woman characters. There's been really great woman game players. There's been melds of the two. There's been great male game players as well. I feel like male character wise, there hasn't been this. Like, the peak has not been reached yet, but we're at it, baby. We got it. And it's this guy. It's this freaking guy.
I think what's fun about this is Q is reinventing, or not reinventing, because that's not the right word. He is inventing a new way to play the game.
Yeah.
But he doesn't realize how much he's inventing it. He's Monday morning quarterbacking a lot of, oh, yeah, I meant to do that. I meant to do that. Of course I did that. Like, Jeff comes out yesterday in his EW interview with Dalton Ross and says, this was not the same, and it's great we have you here, as Hannah and Sean. It was not the same situation. Cheers all around. And Q retweets it and says, I know y'all are confused, but wake up, or something like that. And it's like, Q, that does nothing for
that's
any
a mistake.
Of
yeah.
Us.
Yeah.
I'm up, Q. I've been up. I'm still not sure what happened.
I haven't gone to bed.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it. I have a tweet from like 2017, 2018. There was like a Survivor unpopular opinions quote tweet that was happening that I quote tweeted. I'm like, I love when people quit. I think quitting Survivor is objectively like, you know, for a show that, you know, take out New Era, but for 24 years is like been accused of being samey. Like, I have family, friends, people I went to school with who don't watch anymore and stopped watching way before New Era because it's samey. To have something weird happen is like a luxury. You know, quitting is not frequent. It's frequent on Survivor 45, the first four episodes, but it's not.
Just say, you were on the perfect tribe if you love quitting.
Great. I thought of that tweet in the tribal council, but it doesn't happen often. But it's like, sure, let's do it. And like, whatever this was is so cool. I love it. Do it so many more times. Do it at Final Tribal Council. I love it. I absolutely love it.
All right. So, Blake, real quick, since me and Will were the ones talking about it last night, what was your take on what Q was doing in this situation? Because Brandon has too much experience with this, so we're going to talk to him after. But I want to hear your take before Brandon.
Let me step in some potholes of like, it's always interesting watching somebody like, just make shit up. And when somebody's talking about like, y'all want to play hide and go seek, I'd be one of the three people being like, not really, bud, but I guess if all of our chores are done or whatever Survivor stuff, like if we're done talking about chocolate bars, like, I guess. But him being like, okay, like, if they hide this way, they're toast. But if they don't hide this way, they're toast. And I love the option select of no matter what you do, you're an opponent to me, you're toast. And like, the thing that is in the back of my head when I read his tweets, it's like, I'm the number one realtor, right? He sells houses, yeah. Not cars. Yeah. Like, could you imagine going to that state and trying to buy a house? And you're like, no matter what I try to do to tell Q, like, this isn't what I want. He's like, I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. That's why there's a bay window behind over here. And like, now I want him to like go on an HGTV Saturday morning show, Q sells, yeah, whatever Q can sell. And like, the Q skirt was crazy where you're like, if anybody told me this, I'd be like, this dude's trying to have a moment on TV. This is stupid. But for Q, it's like, this is reality to him.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? Okay, so I don't know if you guys watch the show. I think Blake does, Brandon. I don't know if you do. It felt like if somebody explained this to me, I would have been like, oh, great. So Tim Robinson did a Survivor sketch. That's nice.
Yes.
That's exactly how it
feels. Favorite show.
He said,
favorite show that's not the one.
I don't know if you watch this. That's the most Brandon Donlan coded show on Netflix.com.
Can I tell a story that is amusing for five people? Is one time Maddie Pamela and I and Franny were in Maddie Pamela's apartment, and me and Maddie obsessed with I Think You Should Leave, and we put it on. Not Franny's. It's either your thing, yeah, or so beyond not your thing, and not a Franny television program. I'm absolutely obsessed with it. I think that, again, this is a quick aside, Joey Sasso from The Circle, who's mm-hmm. He's on the new Goat show. He's very much giving, I Think You Should Leave to me. He's just all over the place. And that's who I think of when I think of like reality star, I Think You Should Leave crossover. But Q is very, yeah, I love it. I love it. Like, sure. He wants to go on the zip line.
Exactly.
Like,
I could
find out who's taking out everyone and putting names everywhere. It's like, it's you, Q. Yeah, it's you're the one wearing the hot dog costume.
Yeah. I was crying. Yeah, I was crying laughing during the haunted house one, yeah, because I could not take it. And my wife was so uncomfortable when he goes out and his mom picks him up and says, "Did you make any friends?" My wife couldn't take it, and she like won't watch the show anymore because of that. And I'm dying laughing. And I can envision Q in this while he's arguing or while he's saying whatever. But as Tim Robinson, when Tim Robinson gets the crying face in the Haunted House one or in any of those, where like he looks like he's going to break down. He's like, I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. Like, why are you so mad at me? That's how this reads if you're not actually watching it. But Q is such a fascinating character that somehow it doesn't feel like it's jumped the shark. It doesn't feel like a Nyanka type where you're saying, okay, like, yeah, this person, like, Q was put on this show with the mindset that he could probably win Survivor. Yes. I don't think he has a chance in hell now, no, but that was the mindset. I
mean, he's still like the top three player right now, where it's like, who's playing better than Q? Where like, I can blow up everything, target my main alliance partner. Okay, you're dumb, you're stupid. And like, no votes against him whatsoever. And like, there'll be fallout. Does he immediately go home next episode? Who knows? But like, there's all kinds of protection and like, oh, I want to vote out Q. I don't know if in his mind he's like, that worked out perfectly. Now I'm a goat. And you're like, oh my God, is that what you were doing?
It's several deep chests. Well, what's interesting about that I had thought of last night that I think I texted to some people is he says at a final 10 tribal council, like, I want to leave. And whether he was like selling it, like, we only see a couple minutes of that tribal council, but like, one, like, to agree with Blake, no votes. And it doesn't seem like there's any real consideration to get rid of him. Is like, he is clearly the nucleus of this group. If nobody, like, Tevin is the only person that's like, you know, he's like Suri in episode 2 of Panama. It's like, if he wants to quit, let him quit. Like, let him go, you know, mm-hmm. But nobody else. And granted, yes, it's 10 people and you need numbers and you don't want to see a number leave. Sure. But like, if that is somebody else who goes to a tribal council and says, I'd like to leave, most people, everybody's like, okay, I understand why you have to leave. It happened on Australian Survivor relatively recently. I'm not sure who it happened to. I didn't watch, but I know that it happened in the merge portion of the game. Somebody wanted to leave. Like, if you have a tribe and you have somebody who the tribe is ready to let go, they'll just do it. But nobody wanted to let Q go. And not only that, but the internet reception, like, I saw firsthand the internet reception to Hannah, to Sean, to people who are voluntarily leaving the game. Q has gotten the most praise I think I've seen, mm-hmm, of like, or just whether it's praise or whether it's just people talking about him in general. of anybody I've seen, I maybe in the new era from last night. Like I you know, I'm scrolling through Reddit today preparing for this. I'm scrolling through Twitter. Like nobody is talking about Tevin, who was the person who left last night. Like this is the Q show. And it is a testament to how good Q is at something that everything is working out in this for this insane plan.
Because the other thing that I only pay attention to for 5 seconds to like look like, oh, he had the most confessionals last night. And it's like by a lot.
Yeah.
And I ended up watching the show where like by the time I got home, I missed the first 30 minutes. So I didn't get to watch the first 30 minutes until afterwards. So not only did the boot of Tevin come out of nowhere because I didn't get the context of Liz is pissed, but like, I was like, damn, this is a very Q heavy episode. And I didn't watch any of the hide and seek yet.
Yeah.
And so like the fact that hide and seek is all him, all about him. And then all the strategy is all about him and what he wants was like, all roads are going through Q, whether it's whoever takes out Q probably wins or whoever goes with Q and gets him at the end wins, or does Q go all the way, I think is a very interesting, like, we're going to know probably in the next two episodes because this is going to blow up in his face based on how I've watched Survivor for 20 years.
And I have to say this because we're talking about Q, right? And how he just got the most confessionals by a lot. He got 15 confessionals last night. Nobody on Brandon's season got 15 in an episode. And that includes the 2.5, 3 hour finale, whatever it is, before you actually get to the sitting at the post show
time. No,
Austin and Jake had 14 each in that episode. If you go to Survivor 44, nobody had 15 confessionals in an episode, including the finale. If you go to 43, Owen had 17 in the finale. Prior to that, nobody had as many as Q. 42, nobody had as many as Q. 41, Xander had 17 in the finale. So two finale people, third place finishers, as ironic, zero vote finalists, as that is, got more confessionals than Q got last night. But that is in the new era finales that are essentially 3 hours long. So Q, that's how much we just saw of Q last night. That's why it's insane.
How many did Banu get? 15 or was he 13? I can't remember.
I think he was 13, but let me.
Boot, I think he was 13.
Yeah, let me. I mean, look, the way that this the way that tribe has been edited is pretty insane right now. Yeah. But I think it was 13. But let me just make sure. Yeah, it was 13. So Bonnie went 9, 3, 13, and 10. So we had 35, which Venus just hit last night, and Venus, I feel like, has actually been eating up some screen time. So it's like,
yeah,
it's crazy. Anyway, go ahead. What do you want to say?
I think I lost my train of thought. I mean, it is like it's. We are seeing somebody that we are going to, as Survivor fans, as Survivor podcasters, going to be talking about for the rest of the time this show is on. Like we are witnessing something that, like, when you're watching Kage on, you know you're going to remember Tony. You don't know how Tony does at the LJ Tribal Council, but you know you're going to be talking about Tony for the rest of the time that the show is on. And this, it does not happen. I think you have that with Emily, you have that with Carolyn, you have that with Jesse, Cody, perhaps. But like this is unlike anything I've experienced so far in the new era. I would say definitively.
Mm-hmm. And I think the Yanu tribe, whenever you put all six of these personalities and what they're doing this season, like the fact they're still talking about Jelinski so far later, the fact that Banu was like a whole month of episode, Q was coaching back then and now he's flaming out or whatever. I'm sure if Tiffany wins, it's going to be amazing. If Tiffany doesn't win, there's going to be a blow up. If Kinsey wins, it'll be, what the hell? How did that happen? You almost went out to winning to, or if she goes out, there's going to be some crazy blow up where, like, I think if you take six tribes each or whatever, that pound per minute of that six is going to be crazy.
Yeah. The six person tribes. This one is like, cause people always try to do, I mean, they used to talk about, can you do a tribe ranking? No. Because one, Shapira wins. Two, how in the world are, no, not Shapira, Mogo Mogo. Two,
it's a great color green, the Mogo Mogo.
It is a great color green. Yes, it's Mogo Mogo. Shapira was the tribe there, and that's why that season stunk. But so Mogo Mogo wins. But also, how do you really remember every little detail of, like, I don't remember what Rita did in Survivor Fiji. I have no idea what Rita did.
She voted for Earl. Ruined the perfect game.
That's the one thing. So does that automatically make her good? Plus, you have 9-person tribes, 10-person tribes.
I think she said Rita like Margarita when introducing herself.
She did. But also...
I love this podcast. This is great.
But also, this tribe is going to be that tribe for the new era. There is no other tribe. Like, Lulu was that tribe. But the problem with Lulu is your ceiling was Emily. And I'm not saying that from a character perspective. I'm saying that from a placement perspective.
Yes.
Which does hurt Lulu. Whereas right now, we're at final 9 with 3 people left. Automatically, somebody from this tribe is placing better than Emily.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And we had the statistical worst. I think we're tied with the I2 tribe. And the I2 tribe had Ozzy, who made it to the final tribal council. You know, so we, I think, were the quickest to be extinct we were tied to be extinct, and then we had the worst average with IT. Like, we are statistically not great, but, like, you know, the Yanu.
Did you look that up yourself, or did someone mail that to you and, like, to mess with you?
I knew that when everybody got home.
It has to be Oolong with the best place. With the worst.
No, it's us. It's us tied with I2.
How is Oolong not there? Oolong never won a tribal.
They all got eliminated by a certain point.
Because Stephanie Stephanie got 8th, didn't she? But anyway,
she got 7th. So Solana, which is the beauty tribe from Kageon, Oolong, and us were the people that got 7th as their peak. And then they're
Then
we just have the statistical because we're 18, 17, 15, 16, 15. What is Caleb? 12, 11? 11, 7, I think is what we are, equals out to math.
Yeah.
But we're great people. And we're a lot of fun.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
That's what you ever meet somebody from Oolong? Didn't think so.
ever meet James Miller? I think not.
What is he doing?
I'm going to be honest. I've been waiting to meet James Miller for a very long time. Every time I watch that season, I'm like, man, what a time. Survivor really has stood the test of 2005 was a little different than 2024, huh?
A little different.
Just a little bit.
I watched the pre-merge of Survivor Palau every Christmas, which is a fun fact about me. I got it on DVD in 2008 for Christmas, and now every the Christmas Eve, I'll just watch like the first 5 episodes.
Oh, that's great.
The merch is people like the merch more than the pre-merge, but I love the pre-merge. The pre-merge is with the building challenge and the sumo and the we're not going back to immunity tribal council. Like, it's great.
You can say as un-PC as James Miller is, one of the greatest sound bites of any pre-merge. Like, is just absolutely ridiculous the entire time, and then you have the other tribe that just hates each other but can't vote each other out. It's good. It's solid. It's not, like when Willard gets voted out of that season, because
I think that's the first live tribal, right?
Yeah, where they have to vote him out. We'll talk about live tribals in a separate. When they have to vote Willard out, the way they're all like, Willard's a piece of shit and we hate him, it's like, where did that come from? This guy's like 94 years old, leave him alone.
He just seems harmless. Also, he's just there hanging out, he's on a business trip,
and all of a sudden it's like, well, we got to get rid of him. And rather than it being, oh, well, Willard's got to go because we got to go to tribal, it's like, I've hated this man since the moment I saw him. I hate everything about him. I hate his family. It's just like, okay,
out of nowhere. Willard. I like his, he had a very good confessional on the boat, the opening boat that it, about Wanda singing. He's like, I want to knock her off with the oar, I believe. Which I love. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. It's great. I don't know where the hell we went. But anyway, so we were talking about your tribe and how they got decimated, and now Yanu can't get decimated. But let's talk about this live tribal, because it is with Q, right? So live tribals, I feel like, are in and out of vogue. They go, yes, we care about live tribals. The Julia Carter one kind of broke live tribals, and everybody's like, we're going to do this cool thing. It was like, sit down, shut up. That's okay. We're going to be okay. But last night felt like, in my opinion, the most authentic live tribal that the show has ever had. And I don't know if I'm just misremembering, but this truly felt like everybody was like, we don't know what he's doing. What are we voting for him, or are we doing something else? Whereas when these live tribals generally happen, I feel like it's, I'm going to get up, I'm going to walk around, I'm going to try to throw this person off or make sure there's no idol plays or something like that. This felt authentic. Yeah, stick to the plan was chaos, obviously.
Was that a live tribal? Stick to the plan? Did they?
I don't think anybody got up.
I mean, what is a live tribal? Is it the ability to stand up and walk over, or is it the stuff is happening live?
I watched a couple things today. I watched a couple live tribals in full, as well as Idled Out has a great video about just the history of the live tribal, which I have always considered the live tribal to be when you get up and you talk. Like, I say that the the Malcolm Tribal Council of Game Changers is the live tribal, and then everything after that, which is, if you're not, if you're watching this and you want to watch the video, I forgot that Island of the Idols had a live tribal.
Yeah.
A couple of them. And I have zero memory of Winners at War, the whole thing. It's the one season that I feel like I have to rewatch because I was somewhere else when that was on. I don't remember anything that happened.
COVID, man. That made everybody kind of like distracted while watching it. Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, this won't shock you from my anxiety and my reflux and scoliosis. I did not have a good early COVID. I was very scared. I was just not mentally in my favorite thing. But they had three live tribals in Winners at War, which is like crazy to me. I've always considered the Pilots and Passengers to be like the gold. That season is like top five for me. I love that moment. I love David Wright in that tribal council is so funny when he looks at Kelly and he's like, hey, or Kelly Wentworth. He's like, how are you? You know, I love stuff like that, like little character stuff. But this one did feel more reminiscent of that than it has. Like, obviously, I think this is like the second of the new era. I know 41, Heather tried to do one. And everybody was like, oh. No.
Yeah. Pretty much the editor said, Heather, we don't have you on the show. Can you please sit down? We don't have time for this. We forgot to edit you in. So please sit.
Yeah. But I this did remind me a lot of, because I think what's interesting about this live tribal, and I watched the Island of the Idols one, which is like, I mean, a little bit similar, but not so much, is that you get character insights into this one as you did in Edge of Extinction, which I feel like in some of them, it's just, you're getting game. And it's like, it's whatever. But like, you're getting little bits and pieces of people that they're funny and you're getting people's cadence of their words is interesting. Like I this reminded me much more of the gold standard rather than like a one that I forgot happened.
And I agree with you on that, because the one that I always think of is the Edge of Extinction one. Now, for me personally, I feel like when you have 35 minutes, that's a tribal council. And I feel like the Edge of Extinction cast was so excited for that one. And then it happened. And because Julia went home, that was kind of a fizzle out because we hadn't really seen her. So you wanted it to mean a little bit more. I think this one takes the cake over it because Tevin felt very integral to the story that was being told. And I talked about this on my after show that I do for our patrons, where I said, I felt like the way that this was going, it was going to be Tiff, because it had been played up where Tevin was being viewed as right in his assessment, in his confessionals of making fun of Venus, who is the person who is always wrong. Even if she's right with her read, she's always wrong to her cast. And then you have Tevin getting the Hunter moment. And I was like, all right, Tevin's going to get this figured out and it's going to be Tiff who goes home. And then when it wasn't, I was a little shocked. Now, we all know what the answer to this question is, because Q is going to say yes. But what was his intention with this? Was it to cause this type of chaos in live tribal? Or what do you think?
Blake, do you have anything?
You know what? I think... No, I definitely...
trying to copy your answer, whatever you say.
I definitely think Q was... I think the clear sentence we need to pay attention to is what Ben says of, I don't think Q wants to be on the wrong side of this. And he is... Because he misplayed and said something about an idol, because he misplayed and said a little bit too much... he knew that maybe Tiffany is going to go, and he wanted to be like, if it's Tiffany, I'll go instead, which is a really weird thing because she has an idol. If it's something like, hey, let's focus, I screwed up, can we use an idol to get all of us through this? What's crazy to me is Tiffany or Q didn't go. So it was like Liz being so gung-ho is what saved Q here. But like, I truly think Q is feeling very guilty. And if he tries to pull off the whole, I jumped off of this log first. Like you weren't going to stay on the log. You were going to be on the bottom. Now you're on the bottom anyway. But I think it is, I felt bad Tiffany was going to get screwed over, so I'm going to blow this up real quick.
That's very interesting. And I agree with that perspective. When I'm watching it, and after I rewatched this morning, I think that Q just wanted to get like agency back, because he wasn't as in on it. Like, this wasn't his plan that he like wrapped a bow around. And I think he just wanted... It's like, you know, John Mulaney has a comedy bit where he like would go to his school and tell people that like, you know, his one of his grandparents died, because like you get the attention for the day. And that's what this felt like to me, is he just wants like, he's just like somebody like, look at me, like I like back to me, you know. Omarosa said on a something, Caleb told me this, which made me laugh. Omarosa said, I think in an interview, like if somebody's having a moment, take it is the reality TV strategy. And this felt very much like Q's just like, hey, I'm here. Let's just see what, let's just throw this out and see what happens. And I think it's going to be like when we see the next episode, Q is definitely going to get the first confessional back from Tribal Council. And we're going to get his justification of what this was. But I think this was just a move of whether he wanted to sacrifice Tiffany or sacrifice himself for Tiffany or not. He just wants to get agency back. And I think at a certain point, he doesn't care what happens. He just wants to be the person who's in any way dictating or building the foundation of what's going to happen. And he just at Tribal Council doesn't feel like he did enough or did the most or was the person etch-a-sketching what was going on.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's how we got the word ego introduced this episode of Liz has an ego, but Tevin has an ego, but Venus has an ego. But y'all have no clue what's about to happen to you because now here's 15 confessionals from Q. This is the ego of the season.
And I agree with what you were saying, Brandon. Like, this is what I talked about in our recap last night. It feels like when Q doesn't have 100% control, it's like, okay, it is time for a temper tantrum and then it will be over. And that's what it feels like, though. He didn't get the rice, so he quit the challenge. And he immediately sat down and then he got grumpy at everybody saying, well, you're never going to beat him anyway. Why do we do this? They wouldn't come talk to him in the or they couldn't. They were talking to Ben and he couldn't talk to Ben. So he's over there pouting on the side. Then this happens. And that is what it felt like. It did feel like I am trying to get agency back. Why? Because you've sat there for this. So I have to ask this question. Why did Jeff still go through with everything and not just say, well, do we even need to vote? He was trying to quit the game. Why was Jeff okay with this?
Well, that's the question. That's the question of the hour. Is like, who fucking knows? Like, I mean, I literally, like you said, I sat there and had somebody next to me or a couple spots away from me say the literal close to the same thing. And then it was a conversation of, is Hannah going to quit? Now, granted, there are producers who are communicating back and forth, I'm sure, with Jeff, who are like giving insight that Hannah wanted to quit, you know, 30 minutes after we got there. Like Hannah just wasn't in it. Like, so I guess that helps. But also you have Q, who has verbalized several times over that he would go or whatever. So I'm not sure. Like, I really like, this is bad podcasting to not have a definitive firm answer, but like, I wish somebody had one. I don't know what would, like, it comes up. And then Jeff is, you know, his normal self. Like, he doesn't look angry. He doesn't look upset like he did with Hannah. I understand that he did with Sean as well, like being there in person. Like, he, and then we just kind of bypass it and keep strategizing. So I'm not sure. And I wonder if like Q maybe said in a confessional before he went to Tribal Council, he was going to do this. And like, they had insight. Like, this was a whole like plan that was doctored up in his head. But like, I don't think that's the case.
Maybe two episodes from now, we'll get a thing that says, 4 days ago, yeah. And then it'll be Q at Tribal Council.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how they do it.
Essentially, we're getting Gandalf falling through the mountain at the start of the Two Towers because, you know, they didn't want to give it away in the Fellowship of the Ring. That's what it feels like this season is basing their storytelling off of sometimes.
Which is interesting storytelling, which I'm all for. I mean, like I said, you know, for a show that is accused of, and is my favorite thing in the world, like, and it has been for the whole time I've watched it, for a show that is accused of being like samey, anything like this, I love. I want stuff like this all the time. I don't want boilerplate. I mean, and granted, I say that I don't want four people losing their votes and three people are eligible to leave. Like, I think all of that is like weird, but like, character, like, this is why you watch the show. This is what the show is built on, is stuff like this and just weird stuff that happens when you put 10 people together and you leave them up to their devices, you know. I'm all for more of this. And it, like, people, I saw people, very few, but like, were like, come on, like, I want to get back to Survivor, I want to get back to the strategy. And I agree, but like, a healthy mix of both is what distinguishes season 46 from season 45, 42. Like, this is, we are in an era of the show where we're going by numbers. We don't have, nobody's a hustler. Nobody's on Ghost Island. You know, we have to have weird stuff like this to happen to make, when you think of season 46, when the person who's not a super duper fan, like you boys, you know, when they think of season 46, this is what they think of, which is like,
Is that the hide and seek season?
Yeah.
With Q?
But that's the truth though, because like, when you used to have heroes versus healers versus hustlers, you can make fun of that. But if you say, who's the first boot of that season? Well, it's Katrina because she was on the Hero Tribe and they lost. And she was a hero because she was an Olympic medalist, which everybody thought was weird. Yeah. And you can think of that right off the bat, right? With these seasons, yes, we all know Zach Wurtenberger finished 17th. But a general fan.
What season? No shock.
A general fan would have a hard time saying, wait, was it 41, 42, or 43? Which one was it? They would know it wasn't 44. They would know it wasn't 45. They would know it wasn't. Because 44 has probably the coolest first tribal council we've seen in maybe any season, let alone just the new era. But that was an epic one. Also for a 17th placer because Bruce could not make it through. Yeah. But it would be hard to tell which people would struggle to say which one Zach was the 17th place finisher on, even though Zach is still very popular on social media. His brother obviously goes and plays Big Brother. So that is hard. And I agree. Nobody's going to question what season Yanu was from.
Right.
That's for sure.
Right. And even if you see a picture of Zach and the buff, the number on the buff is whatever, you still don't know. If you see a picture if you see a picture of the Ika tribe, you still don't know. It's, you know, that to me is like, stuff like this, people don't like it in the moment, but this is what, you know, people didn't like Banu in the moment, but this is season 46, guys. People didn't like the quitters in the moment. This is the season that two people quit on, you know, we need stuff like this, then it is the same show. Then it's just the same thing over and over.
Right.
I mean, can people tell the difference between Amazing Race seasons?
No.
That's,
if you want to talk shit about Amazing Race for 20 minutes, I'm down. I'm ready.
I have a very good friend on this current season. Shout out to Danny
Butler. Let's do it then.
The show was great. But it's like, I can't tell. I don't know who, you know, I don't know what the challenge is between the people, between the whatever. Like, and this show is not that. Like, this show is the best. This is the best show on TV. And we need to keep, you know, I'm all for things that distinguish, you know, because I don't want to get to a point, and I don't think we're there yet. And I know people do think that we are. People think that we're in this era of same. Like, we're not yet. Like, let's hope we don't get there. And casting choices like this, dilemmas like this, this is how we don't get there.
Yeah, right. I agree. And before you get too positive on this and I have to shoot you down, everybody like this video, subscribe to the channel, do all that. Now, Brandon, stop. Enough. It's not the best thing on TV anymore. I don't know if you read Mario Lanza's tweet today, but he was like, this should have been canceled 15 years ago, not 15 seasons ago, 15 years ago. But anyway, yeah, I agree with you, though. I think that if you were to ask me my favorite seasons from the new era, easily right now, 43 and 45 are the top two. And then 46 is working its way up because everything post Banu boot has been absolutely absurd. And honestly, the first Jelinski episode is great. It's the next three that are a little bit rough because you're just watching Jess fall apart and then you watch Banu fall apart all by himself. But what is it that makes those?
Then you watch Randon's arm fall apart.
Yeah, exactly.
But what, not fall apart, really the opposite. It is two together.
It kind of went the other way, like went inside of him. Even. But when you think about 43 and 45, they're unique because you do have in 43, you have the Gabler win, and you have the very interesting Jesse Cody dynamic throughout the entire thing. It feels like that's going to happen. And then in 45, you have the quits, and then you have the crazy gameplay from D, and then D still is the closest winner of the new era because people did just like Austin, and Austin got enough credit there at the end. And it's kind of the Reba dominated game. And you can remember the tribes from that of Lulu losers, Reba dominates, and then Bello is the tribe that is winning a lot but hates each other.
Yeah.
So you can remember that pretty easily compared to 41 and 42, where it's like, yeah, Erica was on the tribe that wouldn't lose. That's kind of what I remember from that.
Yeah.
Question I have for you, Brandon, just because you went to the beach and did that. Whenever it's your turn, it's 45, are you like, maybe our tribal council will look cool? Or are you like looking at your buff being like, what is on here that could be different? And then you're like looking at your tribe flag and you're like, fuck, it's just like geckos or something. Like,
I did all of that. All of the above. I did. I mean, I was looking, I couldn't believe this is like, again, you've all seen the picture of me at 11 years old opening up Survivor stuff for Christmas. Like, I couldn't believe I was there in the first place. So I'm analyzing everything. And like, the buff was super cool. The buff was the little borders red, like, which I hadn't, like, I was like, oh, that's new. That's fun. You know, we had a good logo, you know. I just felt the flag for people thought I was looking for the idol, but I'm like, oh no, I just want to see what the texture of the flag is. And tribal council too is like, our tribal council was so fun. Like, they edited out, it just wasn't important to the story, about my reaction walking in, but I was like gobsmacked. I mean, I didn't pick my jaw off the floor the whole time because it's like it feels like the Rainforest Cafe. It's like you're in like this immersive thing that somebody built for. So,
wait, time out.
I love
that. You're gobsmacked when you walk into the Rainforest Cafe.
Okay. There's a lot you guys. Okay. I had two episodes of television.
You go wild when they start having the like monkey noises. The earthquake. The, yeah.
The earthquake's crazy. The thunderstorm's crazy. Yeah.
Throw a quarter into the crocodile's mouth on the way out and go?
Often. I've lost so much money. I've lost a lot of my Survivor money. I don't even gamble. I just go to the Atlantic City Rainforest Cafe.
Oh, that's the best one. I went there with my grandma after I lost $200 playing craps. It was awesome.
What casino?
What casino is that in?
Is that whatever one? I think it's in Caesars, but I didn't know if you
went. No, we weren't in Caesars. We probably went to the Trop.
The Trop? Yeah, the Quarter. Yeah. Shout out to the Quarter. Dude. Anybody's at the Quarter. Come on and hang. I mean, it's the coolest. It's you're in it and it's the coolest thing. And the floor is cool. And everywhere you look, there's a new detail that like you never see on the show. Like they're never showing the camera like 50 degrees up. Like it's just, and everything is there, like put in its place just for you to like, you know, for 18 people per season. It's just, it's the coolest thing in the world.
All right.
Cause there the new one is like Asian inspired. And I was like, what in the world is going on?
I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought when I was talking. I said this to somebody like when we left Tribal Council, our theme was just a lot of stuff. Like our theme was just, like, there was no cohesive theme, but it's just a lot of stuff they had. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. But it wasn't like, I mean, 44 had like the knights and shit. And then this is very Asian inspired. Like we just had like, hey, we got a couple, you know, let's just clear off the home goods in the, you know, in
people. I got to throw this up.
Pier Vance One Imports in Fiji. Come on.
Yeah, Vance says Brandon is the fastest talker in the world. Brandon, I get told I'm a very fast talker too. New Jersey people just talk faster than everybody
else. We talk
else.
Fast because we have a lot to say and seldom is it important. But
The other problem is, though, somebody's always ready to jump in and cut us off when you're talking in New Jersey. So you just have to get it all in before they want to jump in and talk over you.
Van has to come to Philadelphia, attend a meeting at Temple University, Van, and try to get some words in while you're in an all-hands meeting. It's very hard.
It's very hard. Anyway. All right. So Q is now going back to his camp. And Caleb is our guest for Sunday. It's going to be Caleb with us doing the predictions. Oh, you know Caleb. Okay.
Good. I've met him
once or twice.
We spent so much time in Airbnbs together. We spent more time in Airbnbs than we did on the program.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
So Q is going home this week. Are you about to convince me of something else? I guess not, because you just said, as fast as you could.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I mean, like, what is, how, I mean, and I shouldn't doubt him. He's probably, what is interesting is he will try something and I'm excited to see it, but like, it won't work, right? It can't work, but he'll throw something at the wall. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, that's like, I watch with, you know, my mom and my girlfriend, and my mom was like, there's no foreseeable, what is the future? Like, what do you go home and tell everybody?
I think Q maybe has one shot. Cause like the fact that at least three people are like, can we just vote out Venus, please?
Yeah.
It's like, that's going to come around. Like that's the boot you save when you need a parachute. And like, everyone's like, okay, like, I guess we all want maybe $5,000 more. Okay. You're gone now or whatever. And like, trust that you can get through without your idol being played. Or like, maybe if he wins immunity, that forces Venus out too, but who knows?
Yeah. Here's my biggest takeaway from this, though. If you had to choose between Venus and Q, they're both easy to beat at the end right now, in my opinion. However, Venus is not able to convince people of anything. Q might not be able to convince people of much, but he's so chaotic. He's chaotic in a way that Venus stands think Venus is chaotic. Like Venus is a very normal, villainous, like young female archetype on the show. We have seen this Venus character before. He's frustrated. People aren't listening. She has good ideas. It's not coming across socially, but she's playing the game. You cannot predict what's happening with Q. So to get to final three with Q, even if you feel he's a goat, you have to suffer through maybe four more of these moments at Tribal Council.
Yeah.
Or relish. It's all about mindset, bro.
I'm relishing. I'm like a hot dog. I'm relishing so much. I think that with Venus, what's interesting is like it takes one person who genuinely means well to sit down with Venus, in my opinion. And this is a lot from somebody who's like armchair quarterbacking, you know, and not there. Like I've never met Venus. I don't know what it's like to play with Venus. But if you just sit with Venus and like, appeal to what she's been missing from her tribe. Everybody she tries to align with, like her tribe and beyond, and this merge has not taken her seriously, what have you. If you just appeal to that thing, I think Venus is with you. Like, I think you can you can get Venus in a way that Q...
We saw that last year with you guys of like, Emily needs some help. Caleb says, I'm tired of you not focusing. Like, let's focus together. And now we can work together. And I trust you. And let's get rid of somebody. That's crazy. But yeah. It was interesting of somebody wanted to do that for Emily. If Venus had a Caleb, she'd be fine right now.
And it's funny, Q's not, as this is the Q podcast, it's funny Q's not that guy, considering Q is the one who was talking with Banu and saying, no, look, man, we can make this happen. We're going to get rid of Kenzie. He was the one who was thinking of these things with a player who had no agency.
Yeah.
So why not be that for her? And instead, he's the one who runs over and blows up the Tevin plan. They all watched him do it because they watched him sit down, talk to Hunter, and then Hunter get up and go talk to everybody else. They all know Q is the one who said this to start the craziness.
Yeah.
It's very fascinating to me that he hasn't gone to Venus. And now the problem is, what are we going to get? The only way that this works is if we go full Gabon and we get a final five that's like Q, Liz, Venus. And then, I mean, the problem is there's not two more people that are comparable there.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way that he makes it through this week, I feel.
Yeah. I just want to say also, not to totally derail, but like, Liz, for an episode that we're only talking about Q, and again, Tevin, who leaves during the episode, it sucks to not have more commentary about your own boot. Mm-hmm. Liz, fucking mop bot. Like, she drove it. She called her shot and she did it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have been so high on Liz from episode one, two. Like, I was upset. I think she's so funny. All of her Liz works for me. Like, I love it, you know? And I was waiting for her to be able to, you know, she calls her shot. She's like, I want to do this. And she does it. She like seamlessly does it. You know, when all winner survivor has their player of the week, like everybody mm-hmm. who's listening to this vote, like Liz, it's Liz. People mm-hmm. are going to vote for Q because Q like did that and survived. It's Liz. Liz
Q's not Q's play is not good until proven otherwise. And the thing is, like, what Liz did, it reminds me of that meme. And is it in a church? We're all sitting in the pews with a gun at the back of each other's heads. Yeah. And then there's the sniper in the balcony.
Yeah.
She's the sniper in the balcony. Everybody thinks that they're taking credit for these moves and that they're making it happen. What Venus was so happy. Finally, people are thinking, and Tevin's over there talking about something else. And then you have Q who thinks it's his move. And Liz is just up there like, yeah, I got you all in my spot.
I love Tevin, but what the hell was he doing talking that cocky, not in a confessional? Like, that has to be one of the dumbest things I've seen somebody do in probably 5 years on Survivor of like, boy, did she think she knows what's going on, but it's all me. Like, is crazy to say to another player, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's giving, again, I wasn't there. I was in Moulin Rouge in New York City when this conversation was happening. But when Emily does this about Bruce, the Bruce vote, it's a similar thing. It's like, you're just, I mean, again, I've been there for, you know, a couple hours. Like, I've been on the program, but like, you are bored. Like, I think when you do something, it's just such a new thing that you get to do. And it's a resume thing. And I can't fault Tevin for doing it. It's like, I understand it's a bad game move, but like, I understand that, like, and he also felt this, it's a testament to Liz that he felt as comfortable with Liz as he did to say that to Liz. And then Liz can snipe. So I wonder, you know, I think conversations like that happen often and they're not aired, but because Liz is the person driving, I think that he says it to Liz and then Liz probably goes right for a confessional. It's like, oh my God, like, this is,
I mean,
like,
I would do that shit immediately. Like, I do that playing cards on a Tuesday night of like, oh, I crush. And like, people are like, that's such bad manner. And like, if it was vote someone out at the end of the night, I wouldn't last 2 weeks at my local card shop for sure.
It's go fish, Blake. Just chill. Like, it's 6 p.m.
I remember when I was in high school, my physics teacher, me and like a couple of my friends went on a date to like a, you know, triple date, who the hell even knows, to a mini golf place. And I kept score. And my physics teacher was like, if you keep scoring mini golf, you have a problem. And I was like, if you don't keep scoring mini golf, you wasted your fucking money. Like, you literally should not have been there. I don't know what you were playing mini golf for if it wasn't to be competitive, especially since we were like 17 years old. We weren't getting hammered playing it. So I want to throw this comment up now that you all know what I was like in high school. And I was a bundle of fun.
I went putt-putt golf last night. We didn't keep score.
That's awful.
Yeah, I'm a guy who plays things for fun. I don't know if that was indicative of my time on the program, but I'm a guy who's just, I'm trying to have fun, you know?
Have, Do you go to rock climbing walls now, like practicing after having one?
You know, no, it's funny. He does not do that.
Well, we don't know, Blake. We don't know yet. There's a couple folks that go to a watch party in Brooklyn that I attend often. Fruity Island is called, for anybody in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, who they teach at a rock climbing facility in Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Is this the Bitter Jurors one?
This is the Bitter Jurors party.
Okay, yeah. Bitter Jurors.
So
you're allowed to say other podcasts here. Sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, Murder Jurors. And I've talked to them and I'm like, listen, I'm moving to New York very soon. So when I'm there, you know, I'm trying to go to MMA. I'm trying to cage fight. You know, if we're going to start anywhere, Blake, your reaction is noted. And
I can't wait for second chances where you're beating the shit out of Jonathan Young and everybody's like, please make it stop. He's already dead. And you're just like, no, it's not over yet.
It's not over yet. I have to win. He's the latter. I think that I've always said that if they did a second chance or like a Return of the Outcasts that South Africa did, where they have I only ever get even a call if they do a Tribe of Pre-Jurors. And I probably don't even go, but I think I get an introductory call. If I got fucking yoked, dude. Like if I was just, you know, like Dennis,
you came out looking like Carter Williams right now.
Which is, again, I'm on Reddit. I'm not getting yoked. Like they're mutually exclusive.
Or you apply as Drandon Bonlin after you get yoked.
Drandon is not out of the realm of imagination.
Just cut your hair. They're never going to know, man.
I mean, listen, it's an idea, but I mean, I would, again, it's my favorite thing in the world. I'll go in 2 seconds. I'll go tomorrow. I'm actually leaving after this to go to 50. They're filming it now.
I love that.
I just got to show my laptop down. What were you saying, Phil? I'm sorry.
Okay. So here's the comment.
Please.
Here's the comment. Nostalgia 714. People keep comparing Venus to Parv when really she reminds me a bit of Eliza. Brandon, let's hear it.
Vanuatu. I think, well, you know, it's so funny. Caleb, who my great friend of the podcast and friend of mine, will be here over the weekend and has texted me, and we've talked on the phone at length about how Venus is Emily. Like there are a lot more comparisons, I think, to Emily than to Eliza. I see the Eliza comparisons, but I wonder though, like Eliza, and again, Vanuatu is one of my favorite seasons. I haven't rewatched in a while. So I, you know, forgive me if I'm talking out of school here, but I think Eliza did get on everybody's nerves for sure. But I think it was in a different way than Venus is getting on people's nerves.
So I love Vanuatu. Rewatched Vanuatu like a year ago, maybe a little bit longer. But like I've seen that season like 7 times. It's in my top 5. Love Vanuatu. I think with Eliza, she was immediately like Venus. People don't like me. I'm different. I'm annoying them. But Eliza was much more outwardly annoying. I think Venus is maybe a little bit... I don't want to use like a gender word here, but like, I want to say like catty, like she's a little bit more, the claws are out with her. Whereas Eliza, it was just more of, why won't you stop talking? Yeah. You're annoying me. You're driving me crazy. But I do think the comparison here makes sense in Eliza was just waiting for somebody to pick her up and actually be willing to play the game with her. And who did that? Chris Doherty did that. Why did he win the game? Because he made that move. Because he said, Eliza, you come with me. We got Twyla. We got Scout. You and me are final two, babe. We all saw how that worked out. But he was willing to pick her up. Who's going to be the person who picks Venus up? Because whoever picks Venus up, I think will win this season because they're going to sit next to her, one at final three, which will get them the win. But also, you are now getting somebody who wants to play so damn bad on your side. And you're just going to kind of pull the wool over other people's eyes by nobody's going to work with Venus. So it doesn't matter. We don't have to worry about that. And then all of a sudden you do. And it's, oh my God, you get the Leanne face as you're sitting there going, oh no, it's all falling apart. She's just waiting to get picked up. She's not going to win. Parvati obviously doesn't win Cook Islands, but Parvati also was playing like young, flirtatious. I mean, I don't think we're seeing Venus get in a hot tub with anybody on this season. Like that was part of Parvati's game, that Venus, yes, she might be young and very attractive, but she's not, that's not what is defining her on this season, the way it defined Parvati, and Parvati wanted it to define her.
So here's something that I think I haven't said yet, but as somebody who works in casting, when I'm watching this, I think it's so meta going on Survivor right now, where you have people in my garage, I have 15 challenges built, and that's what you can do to prepare for the physical game. But I think it's right now, Venus is getting the negative of, if you're on the show, I can think about my times that I had my interviews with my producers What were you saying? What were you doing to get on the show? And you're very attractive and very catty in the first 5 days. And I'm trying to do the wheels of, what did you say to get on Survivor? Of, I'm going to be breaking these men's bones. I'm going to spit them out and eat them alive. And now I know you're probably saying that in your confessionals. And if you're going to get over on me, it's going to suck. I'm going to go home, but I don't want to get styled on. And maybe that's where the door shuts of, I don't want to work with her, where she stabs me in the back and gets her wonderful moment that she's been wanting this whole time through her casting process. And I think there's just that meta of the game that is working against her, where it doesn't work against maybe some other people. And like, that can't be ignored at this point, because it's not season two. We have 45 seasons to go back and watch to be like, that's why everyone says you're the Parvati or the whatever of, I'm expecting you to do all this stuff. But what sucks for Venus is they're right. Of, we mentioned the whole layer of, she isn't like, that's not me. I bake and I donate all my stuff to underprivileged people. Like, she is the person who is, I look like a snake and I am a snake for all intents and purposes, but that's what's ruining the game for her, is everyone sees that. What's crazy is she's still in a position to maybe get really far in the game, where most of these people, when the door shuts on them, they get 16th place. Like, if her tribe had gone to tribal immediately and Randon's arm sticks together for less than 5 seconds, she's gone and we don't talk about her anymore. That's all the pre-show stuff we said was she's probably going to go, but now she's in a chance to go deep and maybe get 7th place, maybe get 2nd place or whatever. But like, I should stop talking because I said the point already, but that being a thing of, I know she's going to be the next Parvati. I know she's going to spit my bones out. So I'm just never going to give her that opportunity, is, I think, something that is happening on the season for the first time in a while.
Absolutely. And I wonder if the strategy there is, again, if you approach her, if you approach Venus and you, like, again, appeal to whatever that thing is like, you know, people have this perception of you, and I don't think that you'll do that. I wonder, like, Emily is, you know, Hundo P in doubt, like, you know, with Caleb after that moment. And if you have somebody like that who can kind of flip the perception of them on their head to where you have a loyal ally that's, you know, acting as a number for you when you need it. I don't know who that is in this group. Like, really, I would think that person would have been Q, but now Q is not gonna, like,
I think the thing that pissed Q off was last week when he said, Venus, you have to vote this way or you're gonna go home. And she said, well, I don't want to vote that way. And he said, you don't want to vote that way. Okay, well, you're gone. I think that pissed him off. And once you cross Q once, he's done with you. So that could be the reason why. But do you think that this live tribal, the big moment we haven't talked about with this live tribal, is Charlie telling Tiffany that Q mentioned she had the idol? And then Tiffany tells Kenzie, yes, exactly, cross yourself because it's game over for Q here. What do we foresee happening, though, not just from Q, Kenzie, and Tiffany's relationship, which is obviously demolished at this point, but how does this now make Tiffany and Kenzie play differently, knowing that the information is out there to everyone?
I mean, it's tough, right? It's they're in a position now where they're kind of shopping around for new people. Like they're not in, I mean, Tiffany's in the six. Tiffany is in the six that just votes each other out. Is that right?
Yeah, the six just votes each other. Now it's down to 5 for the second time. So it's really down to 4, and there's no way Q's in it anymore. So
no. Well, I think that now this just solidifies. Now it's like, you know, Kenzie and Tiff are right or die. Like, this is like, I have you, you have me. We don't have Q, obviously. Like, let's go shop around and find other people. Like, I love the idea that that Kenzie and Tiffany try to scoop Venus and they have a 3, you know, and that's a voting block of sorts. Or you have Charlie and Maria who are talking with Q and Kenzie and they scoop Venus and they have final 5 and they go to do final 5. You know, I see a world where Venus is an asset, but after this idol thing, like, I mean, now it's in the open. People are going to be talking about it when they strategize. It's every conversation about Tiffany when we're voting Tiffany out and we're voting Tiffany to win, when we're whatever, is Tiffany's idol also, until that idol is played or thrown in the fire. You know, Tiffany is now, you know, attached to that idol. So it's hard to now strategize around, but you just need a big enough group to where you don't have to worry about it for a little bit. And if you can build that trust for a little bit, then, you know, do it.
And I think too, why I liked this live tribal so much more than others is because that did happen. There was that reveal. There was that, oh my God, moment. This might change the course of the game. That would not have happened, I don't think, on the island. I think Charlie and Maria would have held that information to themselves. But I think that Charlie revealed this to Tiff to only because the live tribal was happening to be like, this is where you really stand. Get ready. You could be going home soon. And as a way to build trust, but I don't think this would have worked if he would have done it on the island, on the beach, because then they would have run back and said, Q, did you do this? And Q would have been like, I didn't say it. I don't know what's going on. He must be bluffing and you just gave it away to him or something. Because it was at the tribal, it's such a desperate move. There's nothing else you can, like, it has to only make sense for Charlie to do this. And I think it's really gonna, that little line right there, which obviously is a big moment, but that little line, I think, is about to be what sets off the end game of this season. That's the turning point of the season where now things are going to fall into place for, we need to play the game and we need to play it hard if we want to win this.
Well, and it's shades of Malcolm also. Malcolm, the big mm-hmm. proponent of like doing the move the last second, you know, whether yeah. that's right at camp or at tribal. Like he's the, you know, before we had the live tribal that he leaves at in Game Changers, you know, we have the Philippines and the Jeff Kent thing, and then we have the Three Amigos. It's like, this is his, you know, when the Malcolm and Denise comparisons to Charlie and Maria, like, you know, we got Malcolm. This is a Malcolm move. And I like it from Charlie. I think it builds trust, it serves upside, and nothing serves trust and bonds, you know, strength lies in unity, right? And now we have a common enemy. Now we have somebody mm-hmm. who we like, it's not only that we built this trust, but we have a guy over here who's outing your information, strategizing around all of us. Like, what more do we need? Like, it's like the playbook's written. Let's just follow it.
Yeah.
And I think one thing about last night that I heard in the zeitgeist that I also kind of felt the music of this instead of the math of like, oh, this is what 10 people with 10 votes can do. Of like, there's not, you can only vote with people with odd number birthday months or yeah. or like four of y'all are backward voters. So you
I mean, don't forget, Blake, sorry to interrupt. Don't forget, Jeff was trying to get two people to give up their votes so they could have rights. Seriously. But anyway, continue.
And like, that's like if there's only two people now, whichever one didn't win immunity or whatever that time. Well, oh, we could just all vote them out and it's easy. Like and like. I think the more I've always been like, the more decisions you can give your players and trust them and they'll screw each other over for you. You don't have to take away their votes or give them rocks or something. But like, I think for Tiffany, anytime somebody knows that there's an idol in the new era, at least in the last like 10 seasons of Survivor, anytime an idol is now public, it is like played the next time or you just get targeted and you go. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, now we know Bruce has idol gone. Like mm-hmm. you didn't play it. Why didn't you not play it, Bruce? You're toast. And he's like, oh no. Like everyone knows he wasn't going to play it.
He didn't put that in the show, but he did that.
Right. Oh, no. And then he was like, oh crap. 44. It's reminding me of that. Yeah. It was terrifying to have that come out at tribal. Cause I feel like Tiffany, her life expectancy just went way down. Like, I'm glad she didn't go home last night with an idol, but like, I don't see her like getting through all of this without like some help. And I think more people want to kick her out than help her right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that idol now becomes like a bartering chip and it acts more as like a peacekeeping, you know, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine, than it does an actual idol for her. Like if they're all just, it will not be with this group very cut and dry that nine or eight of them are going to vote for Tiffany when they go to tribal council. Like that will mm-hmm. not happen. And then she shows the idol and then whoever goes home. Like this will be fireworks. It will be groups. It will be voting blocks, whatever. And now it's a, you know, why wouldn't you want to be on the side with the idol? You know, this is yeah. like, you know, if you're Venus, it's like, okay, I got two allies. One of them's got protection for a round. You know, it could be used on me. It could be used to protect our numbers. You know, that's right. It's jump over. You know, it's like we're open. We got, you know, hot donuts. You know, that's what we're here for.
Do you think anyone ever pulls a Q moment and says, just vote me out, it's awful, and then pulls an idol and plays it?
That makes my mouth water. I love that.
That would be great gameplay for a future player.
I
feel like, have you've done online reality games, right, Brandon, or no?
I mean, like, you know.
Like that happens on those.
Yeah.
If that ever happened on the show, I'd be like, not the shark has jumped, but like it is so meta right now that like my mom or like my friend's moms can't watch Survivor anymore. It is just too dense for an average casual player now.
That would be amazing.
I think the scenario where that works is you have to be like, you have to have won 3 immunities and then you lose and it's the final 7 and you kind of know you're going. It can't be a queue. I'd like to leave at the final 10. That doesn't make sense. You have to be the person who's going to leave regardless. And then you have that, like what, I mean, again, very different situation than what I did, but you have your acceptance, you know, I think I might be going tonight, but
I'm leaving on my own terms.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't even want to say that you want to go, but you do the acceptance speech, which like, I didn't quit, but I think it's probably going to be me tonight. And I had the most fun time ever. You have to do something like that. Appeal to the ethos of everybody else. And then you whip that thing up. That's so good. It makes me salivate of how fun that would be to watch. And then again, you're not wasting an idol, but like you get to take out your power player, whoever you want in that 6 is gone, presuming they don't have an idol. And then it's like, we reset in the morning. Like we figure out, you know, my gripe, can I just totally derail and talk about the 3 Amigos tribal council of Karamoan? Do we have a
go
minute?
For it.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm going to pull up something. I'm going to pull up something.
Say
while
yes
we,
to anything you ask.
While we all talk about everything that was just going on, I'm going to pull up an image here. So you keep going and then I'll just throw the image up as you're talking.
The mistake, everybody listening to this, with the I always thought with the Survivor Karamoan 3 Amigos Tribal Council is like, and I this has probably been talked about online, but why say you're voting for Philip? Why I understand that Philip is one annoying. You want Philip to go. But also like what in my ideal world is like, hey, us 3 are all voting for somebody. We're going to split 2-1. You don't know who it is. You guys, you 6 decide. Like, let's expose a little bit of the pecking order of who's going to go here or who is on the bottom or who's not on the bottom. And whoever is left out, whoever votes in the minority, we're here in the morning. We'll meet you when we get back to camp. I always thought that the move is beautiful, but wasting it on Philip, who's not going to win, who again will be dragged to the end, probably lose again. Sure. But like it's Philip. It's not a power player. And so like you have Cochran, you have Dawn, you have Brenda, you have, you know, Andrea, other people that you could have, you know, but not Philip. If you're listening to this and you're ever on a Fans versus Favorites, don't do that.
And I'm listening to you right now, Brandon, and we're going to get right into that. But everything we just talked about prior to that with, oh, you got to like accept your fate. And then you get here. It is. This happened. It's right here. It's Amanda Kimmel in Micronesia. That was the moment I'm thinking of. So you got to be able to figure out a way to fake it like Q did, where you're almost saying, put the votes on me. I just want to go home. I've had enough. And maybe you lay the groundwork enough throughout the season that people start to become convinced by it. I was not podcasting at the 3 Amigos time. I was still a wee lad who was just enjoying the show. And to me, that is arguably one of the worst moves in the history of the show, in my opinion.
For the Philip vote out or the double idol Philip vote out?
The double idol Philip. But like the fact that they did it that way, they wasted 2 idols and voted out somebody. Everybody was like, yeah, we're on board with that. Like, whatever. We just get rid of him. Like, that's fine. Like, that is so bad. It was definitely Malcolm just being like, I've had enough. I'm going to get a third chance. There's no way they'd have the stupidest fucking twist of all time and get me eliminated. That's definitely what Malcolm was thinking in that moment. But that was just, that to me is, oh, great. You got rid of Philip. And Cochran is still going to win, you morons. And there's still only 3 of you. It really drives me crazy. So I am 100% in agreement with you on that one of probably one of the worst idol plays. And it's everything Parvati did on like crack. It was just bye. I can't think straight. So I'm going to pretend that this makes sense. And it's a shame because Malcolm, Reynolds, and Eddie could have been a lot better of a trio. But doing it that way, it was like,
yeah. You don't even have to play the idols at a certain point. Like, you can play one. You can juke somebody out. But yeah, the Philip thing always bothered me. Is it just, it's so, you know, it's so not, it's the one person there that everybody's going to be like, yeah, he's annoying. Like, and again, it's a testament to, and I was there for 5 days with lovely people. So it's not a me experience, but like if somebody's annoying there, it doesn't, the game for a couple rounds does not matter. You want the annoying person out. You know, it's like in this episode, we see people just like, let's just vote off Venus. Like Hunter is like, let's just do it. You know, and that is a testament to how annoying, I don't, you know, not how annoying Venus is, but like how annoyed you can be by somebody that like the optimal game decision doesn't matter.
People, you know, want, what? I think the reason why people love Survivor and love reality TV is I can't be a bitch to a coworker or I get fired. But like, I've been wanting to vote out a coworker of mine for 5 years, and like watching someone get to vote out a coworker, like somebody on the boat that they're with or whatever on below deck or something, is some like cathartic, like, oh, that would be sick if I could be like, you're fucking stupid. One other question I had for you, Brandon.
Wait, hang on before you do that. Also, there was only six people that could vote again, because Eric was voting with them at the Three Amigos thing. So there was final 10. And it was 4-2-2. So Malcolm absolutely wasted the one idol, and it was 4-4-2. He never had a chance of being voted out. So that also makes it a really stupid move. I know he was like trying to play all sides and whatever, but literally all you had to do was throw it on Eddie. But anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Blake. What was your question?
So no one cares about Karamo anymore.
Brandon just distracted me. I do.
Between the Karamo and Noah, the recap.
You went on Survivor 45.
I did.
This is your first time watching a season after you go on.
Yes.
Has it ruined the show for you? Or is it still fun to watch and super fans can go on the show and not have it be ruined?
Oh my God, no. 0% did it ruin for me. Like, okay. I watched my first episode after playing that I wasn't on a part of the season with yours truly, Phil, of this podcast. You know, he was next to me when I watched it. And I was like, I mean, Phil, I'm not sure how much of my commentary you heard, but I'm just, this is literally, it's my favorite thing in
Non-stop.
The world.
Nonstop.
Yeah, I'm just like, wow, like, oh my God, like, I love this show. You know, I love it. And I was there for not a while. And I understand that your experience is so, it's person to person, and it's success dependent for some people. And it's like, you know, I didn't have a strong, like, I wasn't, you know, it wasn't a fun, I'm sure, viewing experience for some folks. You know, like, I understand why people would think that it's ruined for me. Like, and not to say that like you thought that, but I understand why a lot of people have asked me that. It is 0% ruined. If you want to go do this, just like take it from me. Like, you got to go do it. You got to try it. Cause it's like, if you, and I think that what was on my side is I kind of, and I would tell somebody not to necessarily do this as much as I did, but I kind of accepted every outcome before I got there. It's like, I've seen people in my archetype go super far. I've seen people not go super far. Like, I'm just so elated that I get to play, and I want to play as hard as I can for as long as I can. I wrote in my journal before the game started, Wanda Shirk, which is not who you want to quote before you play Survivor, said, I want to do this, like, one big party as long as it lasts, is what she says in her confessional. And that's what it was for me. It was just, and I still, every day, I cannot believe I got to go. I cannot believe I got to have the most fun. It was literally the best 5 days of my life. It was the most fun I've ever had. And if you want to play, you got to go. You got to try it. You got to go play. And like, again, if it doesn't go well, if you do worse than me, I'll buy you dinner. But if you do better, then you have to buy me dinner. And if we tie,
you're going to get a lot of free meals
and
that way.
If I like, you tie, it comes out of Blake's account.
Yeah. If we tie, it's Blake. Forward it to Blake. We'll go to the Rainforest Cafe. Yeah. It's literally, so I'm sorry, Blake, I don't think I answered your question. It is like, it's like I'm watching Survivor 44 before I was there. Like, I feel 0% of a difference. Like, I recognize
now.
Yeah.
You get to walk around and go to these parties, and people want to take pictures with you rather than you wanting to take pictures with other people. So that's a plus too.
And that's the other thing is, like, again, I understand, like, my two episodes, it was a journey, you know, and I'm so touched and thrilled that anybody wants to talk to me in any capacity, in any reason. Like, I'm flattered that I got asked to do stuff like this. Like, when I left there, I didn't think this was happening. I didn't think these events, I didn't think I was going to want to go, you know, like, it's stuff like this that I'm gobsmacked that I get to be a part of the community that like raised me. I mean, I was watching, I was commenting on Survivor Sucks when I was 11 years old. You know, I was watching these YouTube videos, you know,
what was your screen name? Make sure I don't know.
I think it's something Power Rangers adjacent. Keep that federal. I was
Blake
I was watching,
has sent so much hate mail to that Power Rangers one.
They sent enough hate mail to your boy on Survivor Sucks. But you know, all the episodes used to be on YouTube, and they were like $16E1P1. Like, I was in it. I've been in this for my whole life, and I'm just again, the idea that I got to even go is just, it's crazy, and it's the best.
Well, Alex says Phil fan club roll call. So whatever you said made him think of me. So thank you, Alex, for the super chat there. Appreciate
it. Oh, we don't think that's Philly, like Philadelphia. We think that's Phil is in Phil.
Oh, it's for me.
It's for me.
Philly would be Philly, not Phil.
Wait, would you do Traitor season 36?
John Dorado.
Yeah. Thank you, John Dorado. I think that I would be a really good faithful. I don't think I'd be a good traitor. I think that the thing about the traitors that I don't think people contextualize is, like, it's like 3.5 weeks. Like, you're lying like that for 3.5 weeks is very hard for anybody, you know. Like, people crumble, and I can lie for a couple of days, I'm sure, but like, the 3 weeks of, like, even in Survivor, you're lying for 3 weeks, but you're also having to trust people for a couple of those, you know, you're doing a medley of the two. But the traitors, you know, I would be a very good faithful if they're so, if John Dorado, if you're casting, you know, my DMs are open.
I have a different question for you about a different reality show now, because I did my Amazing Race recap this morning. Yes. And so you mentioned that you're friends with Danny. So my question is, if you played the Amazing Race with your mom, would you be the one that she'd be like, all right, Brandy, you're going to have to do a roadblock now. Like, I've already done four of them. We need you to do at least three.
Well, no, I mean, again, and this is going to sound crazy and you all need to buckle up for this answer. Is that like that? And when my episodes aired and it's like the very bad at challenges, I am objectively bad at challenges. I'm not defending that I'm bad at challenges. However, that was extremely in my head and in the eyes of the people that I was with, extremely exacerbated by my day one experience. Like, I'm just so in my head the entire time that like, that's the situation that you get. And I go to bed thinking about it. Like, I hate that, you know, I dream about this for however long and then 15 minutes and I have a panic attack and like could not mentally compartmentalize and just get snap back into it. You know, I'm surprised they didn't, you know, they did me a lot of favors with the edit, unbelievably. But one of the things is like, Sabaya, I remember Caleb encouraging me of like, I can get out of my head and I couldn't. Like that's what the situation was. But like challenge wise, like I'm chilling. Like I'm not, you know, I am definitely below average, but I'm not. In a different scenario, I think people would be like, oh, okay, it's not as bad as we thought. Like,
Let's go back to Kara Moen. You're not that, what was her name? Laura?
I mean, I might be Laura Alexander. I'm not saying that I'm not Laura Alexander. I think it is a very isolated, very Brandon Dolan specific situation. Like, I mean, I say in my pregame press, I said throughout the whole casting process, like, I want it to go because I have anxiety. Like, I want it to, so I grew up with Survivor and with anxiety, and I want to be the person that Survivor can turn
me
into.
Let's marry the two.
I see David Wright do it. I see Cochran do it. Like, let's try it out, you know? And it didn't work. And it didn't take. And if I don't swim in that first challenge or if I step on the right rung, like, then maybe it takes. But I'm totally thrilled with how everything went. And this is the best ever. But it's you know, I could roadblock it up with Angie Butler for sure.
Okay, good. Hey, somebody's got to be even with her. Yeah. I don't mean to make light of your very, very heartfelt answer, but at the Ron Clark Academy, did you compete in a challenge?
Get the fuck out of here. It's so funny. So for folks who are listening, we had to do a puzzle and we were all in, like, if you're a Survivor player, you go in, which again is crazy that I'm the Survivor player, but there's a puzzle, a table with a puzzle, and every table had a Survivor player attributed to that puzzle. And I am purposely on my phone in the back. And then this fucking guy is like, come do this. And I'm like, I say to everybody, I talk to 15 people. I'm like, listen, you don't want me here. I promise you don't want me here. And then we did it. And we were literally, we got lapped. I think people were on the third obstacle by the time we got finished.
We were done with the first puzzle. Yeah. We blamed it on the fact that the logo wasn't up anywhere in the room, but still it was quite, you literally were like, you don't want me. It's going to hurt. And I said, no, that's why I want you. Come on, get over here, Brad.
Were you guys like four beers in at least or something?
I never drank.
Yeah.
Never once
was
drank.
Was Bill four beers in?
So fun fact about the Ron Clark event, it was free alcohol. And yeah, it was. And I did not realize that the beer was off to the side. So I waited in line in like the huge ass cocktail line, thinking that that's where all the alcohol was. So when I got up there, they were like, what do you want? And I was like, a beer. And they were like, yeah, the beers are over there. You can just go grab one out of the cooler. So I was like, nice. And then I said, I guess I'll take a whiskey because I didn't just wait in this line for 15 minutes. So
wine.
Yeah, so I was feeling okay. I had to go home and podcast or go back to this really small hotel room in a Wyndham that was like with like really scary metal bars around everything, like definitely right next to the Atlanta airport. Probably not the safest place I've ever stayed in my life, but got to do a podcast from there. The internet was so bad I had to do it from my phone because it wouldn't work on my laptop. So I was like as drunk as you could be to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I just
equally as impaired. I've never had alcohol in my life.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never once drank alcohol. I do want to
ask, like, fogged up or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think they weren't even on at a certain point. Like, this is, we're wasting time. I'm too heavy. I think that I am not good at things. What you should do if you're watching this and you're going to Survivor 47 or 48, you should be, when you're doing any of these puzzles, this is a big month for Survivor puzzles. When you're doing a Survivor puzzle, time yourself doing it. Do not just, because I did so many puzzles. I puzzle prep like crazy. Phil's got a couple behind him. I have a couple in my room. Like, I was doing
two pieces I still haven't figured out. So continue.
Yeah, it's And I can do them, but I can do them in like 30, you know, 20 minutes when there's not people yelling. Like
30 minutes after my cheeseburger.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I got greasy, you know, fingers, you know, Arby's. It's hard to do after, like with the cameras and everything. Like, I just wasn't, I'm not good under pressure, which I should have accounted for that on the program. Is like, what I've compared it to is like, you remember the test they gave you in elementary school that had like the 100 multiplication?
Mad Minute Math? That was my shit.
Mad Minute Math. So Mad Minute Math used to make me cry. I would have an asthma attack with Mad Minute Math. So if you have an asthma attack with Mad Minute Math, I wouldn't recommend doing Survivor, like, or just prepare for that, allocate for that when you get there. But that was particularly hard for your boy.
Love that. I love that. Well, here's the
my
puzzle.
My friend Jeff.
So how long would this puzzle take people? On Survivor, this tree puzzle.
Is that, no, that's not the one I did. I did the coral. So that's the tree. The tree I can actually do because I've done the tree so many times. But I mean, the tree you can do in like, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I think.
I'd be terrible at Survivor. I'd be the next Brandon Dunlap. It took me forever.
Kelly can do that today. Extremely fast. Kelly really? Can do that one extremely fast. Because like that was like, I had the tree. I had the dragon puzzle. That's the circle. Yeah.
That one's kind of tough.
That is hard. I had the fire puzzle. Like those are the ones that were just available when I was buying puzzles. And I think that's the, like, those are like the stock three that everybody tries and prepares for. But the coral, none of us had ever seen. The coral is a new puzzle. None of us had ever seen it before.
And you can slide puzzle.
I can slide puzzle like crazy. That is the thing that I practice the most. And that's like when I'm bored in Zoom calls, that's what I just turn my camera off and I just do the slide puzzle off my phone. Like that's my shit.
Ron Clark has the slide puzzle in his back room. And he said, Joe Anglim did it in 28 seconds and I did it in 15.
No shit. Hunter did it. We went back there and Hunter, you know.
I did it. Whatever it was, I beat Joe Anglin by like 15 seconds. So ask Ron what the made-up number he made up was.
I can't slide puzzle.
My wife has it. She has a video of it so that it's correct.
And you also beat Joe Anglin as you're not in QAnon or whatever.
Hey, you don't know
Wow.
that. Man. Yeah.
So that's where we're going next.
Speaking of Q, okay. But yeah, please, everybody, don't start thinking I'm in QAnon, okay?
No, that was
a good job. Done a good job of keeping this hidden for long enough.
It wouldn't be anonymous if he was in it.
Yeah, don't pan your camera to the right. You just
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This gigantic poster I have right here that you all can't see. We have anything else we want to say about live tribals in Q, or should we wrap this thing up and just say, that was nice.
I just want to say how impressed I am by Brandon of, I think there was an, not my impression, but like, I feel like that's a true super fan, not a fake one. You're saying the word Laura Alexander. I don't remember her last name. That's crazy. Very interesting. Not only your viewpoint, but your knowledge is on point, and I'm glad you came today.
Oh my God. I had so much fun. This was so much fun. I'm so thrilled. Not thrilled enough that Phil's bored and texting, but otherwise.
No. I was finding this. I don't know what the hell either one of our faces were doing. Hang on. Maybe if I move that.
Again, this doesn't help that I don't drink alcohol and I wore this willingly and I look like this in this picture.
Yeah, I can't. I got to find a way.
Your Wario costume?
Unfortunately, I'm doing it on my phone, so it's really hard to see. But
yeah,
my teeth are like hanging out and shit. You're doing whatever with your hand and you're in that.
I think I was sending a half heart. I don't know who we sent that to. But that
I'm going to tell you right now who we sent that to because I said to you, I said, man, I got a buddy who loves to hate on Brandon Donlan.
Yes.
You know who it is? He's right here.
Okay.
For him to say that right now, Brandon, you have changed this man. You really have.
I knew this whole time. That's why I let you say it.
So one thought process that I do have to ask you.
Yeah.
That cast photo. What is going on in your cast bio photo? When you were taking it, how did your hands get in your pockets? Was that instinct or did they ask you to do that?
I think they
asked. Because that's insane.
Well, what's annoying is, and this is for, thank you for bringing it up. Thank you for the ring ad. This
I love that we have a ring ad blocking it instead of just.
This episode of the Survivor Special is brought to you by our friends.
How do we get rid of it?
No, it's blocking your hand. Did you pay Ring to do that?
This episode of the Survivor Special is brought to you by our friends at Home Depot. Get lighting pricing for pros. What is, again, if you're going to Survivor 47 or 48, what you should do is, like, the camera guy here poses me, does all the stuff, and the sun is directly in my eyes. My eyes are closed in this picture. And I knew for months
that they were
gonna, I gotta see if I find a better version where there's not a Home Depot ad.
There's not a better version of the picture. The picture would be better.
Maybe it won't have a brand. It won't have that blocking it. That's what I mean.
I
should
have just wore the apron in the picture. But like, you have the agency to just move, right? Like they're gonna reset. They're gonna take a picture in a different way. But when you're there and you're mystified by the whole process, you don't think you can move. If you don't like your cast picture, just be like, the sun's in my eyes right here. Let's move right here. Like, that's what I should have done there. I hate that my eyes are not open in that picture. I've never thought about, Blake, thank you for putting my hands in my pocket. It's a new insecurity you've unlocked, which is great. But I've never once thought that was interesting. You know, that's not in the top five worst things about that picture in my memory, but I'm thrilled to now go to bed with that.
Yeah, you definitely will be panicking about this. Okay, here we go. Now I can really get it up here for everybody so that they can see it. I think this one's good. Hopefully this is good.
I think I was just harping on it.
Can you all see this now?
Now
we're sponsored by USAA, and you can see that I'm logged in as Alexa. There it is, officially with the hands.
Yeah. So Blake, talk me through, like, you hate the hands for what? And I'm not telling you that you're wrong hating the hands, but what about the hands did you not like?
So I think I always talk about here's how my mind works of get your hands out of your pockets was a thing I heard from my mom, yeah. A single mom, blah, blah, blah. And so that's like if it's time to pose for a picture, like you don't want to be like this. It's like closed off body language. It's not a good first impression. So this is literally your first impression. This will probably be the most famous picture of you unless you murder somebody.
Which
he maybe might come to me and, after you know, Blake this. Lives in LA if you need to go find somebody. But
I've already got my ticket. I booked it when I realized I was coming on here. Yeah. Like, it's the guy who doesn't like me.
But the idea of if they ask you to do that, then you feel more nerdy.
Yeah.
But it feels like I'm anxious. And then I realize, you are anxious. So is it something where if it was instinct, I feel a little bad harping on it. But like, when you're taking a picture, nobody goes, and for this one, put your hands in your pocket. Like, well, that's just not something I ever heard.
I think that my natural instinct was hands on, like my hands are, I don't know what to, I'm like the inflatable guy in front of a Chrysler. Like, I don't know what to do with these things, you know, they're just here. So I think I probably went hips and then maybe like my fingers were out and they were like pockets. But I think that's what happened. Like, I'm not going to do this. This is my my Costco.
Getting this picture like better in any way is so hard. Look, this is like now the best I could do. The smallest.
But we should all be looking at it from this resolution because it does look better somehow. Like, it's better like this.
Your eyes look open right now.
Yeah,
you're doing that thing in this photo where it's like you're at the wedding photographer and they're saying to you, "Okay, we want that cool thumb out."
Do a cool
like Ryan Gosling. Yeah. You don't look like Ryan Gosling. Not saying anybody does. I'm saying like whenever you're at a wedding, they're always like, "We want the thumb out," and I'm like, "That'd be great if I was like actually a model or if I was actually important." Instead, I'm wearing a suit that's two sizes too big because I went to Men's Mayor House and I hate myself. Like, come on. So
I have to return this at 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. With vomit stains on it, like it does not matter. So no, I mean, I never thought about your cast photo. I always thought it was fine. I don't know why Blake had to bring it up, but he was like, "We need to make sure."
This is the shirt I wore to Phil's wedding too, by the way.
He pretty much did. Yeah,
Amazon. I'll give you mine. I'm auctioning it. It's on eBay. But that's very listen. I think that they to clarify the answer. I believe they posed me in that way, and I'm all about taking responsibility. Your boy is all about responsibility, but I believe that was not a.
They looked at you and said,
I think they went hands in pockets. Say that again. I'm sorry.
I said they looked at you and said 17th place. Put him in the hands and pockets.
What is he's gonna need the money that's still in his shorts. He's gonna need
It literally looks like somebody just asked you. I just heard the ice cream man. Do you have any cash? And you're doing.
Hold on one second. I have a money clip somewhere. Yeah, it didn't pan out well. Next time it'll be a much different picture. I already have my outfit plan.
Well, this was a fantastic episode because not only do we dig deeper into episode 8 of Survivor 46, Live Travels and Cuberdet, we dove deeper into Karamoan. We dove deeper into Brandon's challenge performances. We dove deeper into I Can't Complete a Puzzle. And we dove deeper into the fact that Brandon put his hands in his pockets in his cast photo. And for some reason,
his hands were digging deeper as well.
His hands hit. Yeah. So, I don't know what more anybody could have asked for from this podcast.
I had a great time. I hope everybody who listened, I hope they had a great time.
I hope everybody had a great time. Well, I did. Brandon, thank you so much for coming on. We'll have to do this again sometime. If you haven't liked this video, like the video, subscribe to the channel. Go ahead, Brandon. Say you can now throw some praise back at me. I've just talked nothing but glowing reviews about you because we got Blake to troll you instead. So here we go.
I had so much fun. If you're listening to this and you also were 17th place, you know, come out, do the podcast. It's not the power rankings. You know, do the second tier podcast for the special. You know, do where they're putting everybody they don't know where to put. You know,
it's great. Yeah, Maddie, where are you at? Come here, Maddie. No, Zach did a predictions of power rankings with us. So, you know, yeah. Brandon, you might still be in the running. Like I said to you before, I thought we had somebody for May 5th/6th. And then so far, 12 or 13 people have fallen through. So, you know, I'm just throwing that out there.
17. Listen,
yeah, four more number. People.
You might be. Brandon's going to go from B-list survivor specialist guest to only two timer for this season. So, you know, there's a very good chance.
I'm going to be Alexa. I'm just going to do this next year. You're just going to be
the one. Honestly, you can be Phil if you want. I'll sell it to you. I'll sell it to you for probably less than you made on Survivor, which tells you how well we do. But anyway, thank you everybody for listening. We will see you next time. John and McKenna are doing Survivor Rewind tomorrow. Think about becoming a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. We're doing a whole bunch of stuff. We're diving into the season everybody wants. He's pointing the wrong way. We're diving into the season everybody wants for Every Season Matters. And we're recording most of it tomorrow. That's Survivor Thailand. So if you're dying to listen to people talk about Survivor,
that for? Why?
Every season matters. It's the fifth month
of the year.
It's the fifth month. We're going every season. We're doing 8 episodes about every season. So if you want Thailand, jump on in. We've already done Marquesas, Africa, Australia, and Borneo. You still get access to all of those if you become a $20 patron now.
But, can I do? Let me tap me in September and October. I'll do I'll do a little, you know, Vanuatu action, Palau action. That's my jam.
There you go. We might be looking for that. If you want to do All-Stars, so I don't have to, because it's my least favorite season.
I picked a new Pope during Palau, man. That's how I remember that season.
Yeah.
You're in the Janu boot or whatever.
He was actually the alternate for my season, was the Pope. They had to fly him home for some reason.
He was supposed to be your spot, and they said, no, we're keeping Brandon.
Panic attack is crazy.
It was Austin.
It's not just me.
Anyway, no, that's good. So yeah, if you're dying to hear us talk about Survivor Thailand and you're like, this is the time to become a $20 patron, nobody else in the internet is going to talk about that season. So this is your only shot, kids. But that's it. Thank you all so much, everybody. And we will see you later.
Yep.